Father, we thank you for your presence here today, and we pray, Lord, that you would make yourself felt. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we honor you and as we honor all the mothers that are here today, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever will betide, shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is my rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time.
Testimony.
I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
We've got the defeated.
I'm an old lady and live with my son. I'll make his life happy and filled with such fun. I want to pay back all the joys he's provided, returning each deed. Oh, he'll be so excited. When I'm an old lady and live with my son, I'll write on the wall with red, white, and blue, and bounce on the furniture while wearing my shoes. I'll drink from the carton and then leave it out. I'll stuff all the toilets, and oh, will he shout. When I'm an old lady and live with my son, when he's on the phone and just out of reach, I'll get into things like sugar and bleach. Oh, he'll snap his fingers and then shake his head, and when things get tough, I'll hide under the bed. When I'm an old lady and live with my son, I'll sit close to the TV. Through the channels I'll click. I'll cross both my eyes to see if they stick. I'll take off my socks and throw one away and play in the mud until the end of the day. When I'm an old lady and live with my son, when he cooks dinner and calls me to meals, I'll not eat my green beans or salads congealed. I'll gag on my oatmeal, spill milk on the table, and when he gets angry, I'll run as fast as I'm able. And later in bed, I'll lay back and sigh. I'll thank God in prayer and then close my eyes. My son will look down with a smile slowly creeping and say with a groan, "She's so sweet when she's sleeping." Would you turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The message is for all of us, but especially for moms today, because the title of the message is When the Upright Get Uptight. When the upright get uptight. Moms, we know that there are a lot of times when you have the opportunity to get uptight, so we want to share some secrets with you this morning on what to do. Psalm 37, I'm going to read the first 18 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. There are times when even the upright get uptight. Both men and women get uptight, but women battle it the most. And we will look today at one from Scripture, one from the New Testament, who had this ability, if you will, to be uptight. I think that women at least get uptight more than men. Men were designed to work best under pressure. Women were not. Men were thrive under pressure, except for certain times like having a baby. Then men don't respond to pressure very well. A very pregnant lady tells her husband he'd better get to the hospital quick. The first thing the nervous husband does is to call the hospital on the telephone. He tells them that he's bringing in his wife and that they better be ready for her, because she is about to have a baby. The receptionist asks, "Is this her first baby?" The guy says,
Of course not. This is her husband. When the upright get uptight. Number one, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Paul instructs Christians to be careful for nothing in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, when it says be careful for nothing, it doesn't mean to be careless. That's not what it's saying. The word careful means to be full of cares, full of worries. So he says, don't be full of worries. In spite of this command, most of us find ourselves worrying, and wives many times worrying about things that are not their responsibility. You know that a lot of the things you worry about, they're not even your responsibility. They might be your husband's responsibility. They might be somebody other's responsibility, but you tend to worry about those things. God describes an anxious person as one who is full of cares. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of cares. Martha was caught up in the cares of life and gently reproved by the Lord in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Anxiety. Anxiety is a state of uneasiness about future uncertainties. It's more of an apprehension that is many times unfounded. How many of you have ever worried about something and you had nothing to worry about when it was all said and done? The thing that you worried about never happened, never took place. And so you sat there or you laid asleep at night and you had all of these worries and all of these concerns, and it ended up they were for nothing. The cause of anxiety, however, is defined in the Greek word for cares. The Greek word merimna means care with the idea of distraction. To worry or to be careful about things, so much so that these things distract you from doing what is your responsibility. Full of distraction. To be anxious is to turn from God's priorities and to be sidetracked with concerns that, again, many times are not your responsibility. A lot of times these worries and these cares, they get us sidetracked from the things that really are our responsibilities and the things that God wants us to do. The etymology of the word worry gives the picture, for example, of wolves attacking the legs of a moose. It means to harass by pulling, biting, and tearing until able to seize by the throat and strangle. And that's eventually what worry does. It bothers us, it bites us, but eventually it tears us down and it strangles us and we are not able to overcome it. But if a wolf is biting at the legs of a moose, that moose cannot just walk away from that wolf. It can't simply just walk away and be done with it. Likewise, moms, I know that you have a lot of cares. I know that there are a lot of responsibilities that are placed on your shoulders, and there are things that you worry about. Your cares are real. I'm not denying that for a minute. You just can't walk away from them. So what do you do? Keep listening. I'll tell you later on in the message of what you can do. But number two, the cares of this world are destructive to spiritual growth. Cares of this world are destructive to spiritual growth. Cares cause us to be sidetracked. Our spiritual growth is no longer the priority. The cares become our priority. The cares of this world are as destructive to spiritual growth as thorns and thistles are to struggling seeds. Jesus said in Luke 8:14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Scripture points out in Luke 10 and verse 40 that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. In the previous chapter, Jesus told the disciples to feed the 5,000. He gave this command to his disciples. He said, give ye them to eat. I want you to go feed this multitude. You provide the food for them. When the disciples saw that they were unable to carry out this command with their own resources, and even when they found the little boy with a meager amount of food that he had, and when they said, what is this among so many? When they saw that they sorely lacked resources, Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, and he then gave it to them to serve, and they served until everybody was full. Everybody had enough to eat. You know, it never occurred to Martha that Jesus could do the same for her. One chapter later, it never occurred to Martha that Jesus could do the same for her. Instead, she took the whole responsibility upon herself, and she became anxious about the things that she thought needed to be done. Jesus reminded her that there was only one thing that was really needful, and that was the thing that Mary had chosen to do, to use every opportunity to have fellowship and commune with the Lord. You see, Martha had been sidetracked. She had neglected the real responsibility. She had neglected the priority. The cares of this world were destructive to her spiritual growth. She was not able to learn at the feet of Jesus like Mary was. And I want you to understand today that the cares of this world are destructive to your spiritual growth as well. Why? Because they turn you away from God's priorities. They turn you around from the really needful thing, and the really needful thing is for you to spend time communing with your Lord and Savior. Number three, the problem with worry is that it expands into other destructive emotions. If worry wasn't bad enough, worry leads to other emotions which are even more destructive. The consequence of failing to deal with anxieties is a troubled heart. A troubled heart results when we allow cares to build up inside of us. The cares tend to produce the heat of frustration and anger in the same way a hot desert sun warms the sand. One mother heard her daughter saying, "I don't want to hear another word. I hear my daughter scold. Dear me, I think she's awfully strict for a playful three-year-old. She rolls her eyes heavenward and sighs with great disdain. What am I going to do with you?" Her dolls hear her complain. "Sit down, be still, hold out your hands. Do you have to walk so slow? Pick up your toys, go brush your teeth, eat all your carrots, blow." I start to tell her how gentle a mother ought to be when blushingly I realize she's imitating me. Maybe you're here today and you're kind of like Martha. Her demand for help sprang from a troubled heart. Martha let her cares build up inside of her and consequently also had a troubled heart. Luke 10:41, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." See, it didn't stop with just the worry. Those worries, those cares, they built up until it troubled her heart. And Jesus recognized this. He said, "Martha, you have a worryful heart, but you have a troubled heart." The etymology of the word troubled is the concept of stirring or whirling about as in a whirlwind. You know how a whirlwind is formed. You know that it's created when a cold front comes in contact with rising warm air. When someone with a calm, cool, gentle spirit comes in contact with a troubled heart, that person with a troubled heart very often acts like a whirlwind. The cold front meets the warm front, and the pressure comes to the surface, and they react. Martha allowed mealtimes and the cares of those times to build inside her heart. When she saw her sister, when she saw Mary's calm spirit, learning, listening at the feet of Jesus, she reacted to both Mary and the Lord. I mean, can you imagine talking back to the Lord? And Jesus said unto her, or she said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Her demand for help sprang from a troubled heart. Maybe you're here today, moms, and you have worries, you have cares, and you have allowed those worries and cares to stay in your heart. And you have carried them, and you have not released them. And maybe you come in contact with somebody with a cool and a gentle spirit, you know, one that has things together, and you tend to react. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Twice he said that in John chapter 14. In verse 1, he tells us not to be troubled because of his existence and the promise of eternal life. Listen, you don't have to worry because Jesus is alive. Jesus is in existence. And Jesus knows your need and he cares about your need. And he is willing to meet that need. And if you look at your worries and your cares in light of eternity, eternal life, many of those things really are not as important as we think that they are. The other time Jesus told people, let not your heart be troubled in John chapter 14, was when he spoke about peace. He said, don't let your heart be troubled because my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Jesus wants to give you his peace. Yes, your cares are real, your worries are real. But Jesus wants to speak peace to your troubled heart despite those worries and those cares. He wants to give you his peace. The emotions get more intense the further we go without dealing with them because a troubled heart leads to distress. So we've got a careful heart, we've got a troubled heart, and then we have a distressed heart. And we know that a troubled heart leads to distress from what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. The next thing that would normally happen when a person is troubled is they would be distressed. He says, we are perplexed but not in despair. Distress is an emotion which Paul tells us we need to avoid. It means to hem in closely. It can be caused by inward pressures or outward troubles. Because of the condition of Paul's heart, though, he was able to avoid inward distress when outward troubles came. That's the mark of maturity. That if outward troubles come, we are able to avoid being distressed over them. The Corinthian church, however, experienced distress because they wrongly responded to Paul. 2 Corinthians 6:12, he says, you are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels, you are straitened in your own emotions. Their emotions had led them away. Their emotions had led them to distress because they were not properly responding to the ministry of Paul in their midst. And ladies, if you are wrongly responding to your husband, I tell you very lovingly today, you will experience distress. It'll be there. In Psalm 37, our text, we found the word fret. Three times in the first 8 verses, we are told to fret not. When a distressed heart is not dealt with, it leads to fret. The etymology of the word fret is illustrated by a volcano. The word, Hebrew word for fret, means to glow or to grow warm. Figuratively, it means to blaze with anger, zeal, or jealousy, to burn with displeasure, to become incensed and hot. Fretting occurs when we view our circumstances from our perspective. When we view life situations from our perspective rather than God's, we tend to fret. Ultimately, fretting is a reaction against God for the way he deals with us or the way he has dealt with others. We tend to fret because of the prosperity of the wicked. That's what Psalm 37 talked about. And often accompanying fretting is a secret desire to do what the wicked are doing and to be able to get away with it as they seem to be. Number 4 this morning, how to overcome anxiety and the resulting destructive emotions. How do you overcome worry, care, and these other destructive emotions, a troubled heart, distress, fret? How do you deal with them? How do you overcome them? Number 1, turn each care into a springboard for prayer. This is so important. Turn each care into a springboard for prayer. Remember the moose that we talked about? This poor moose has this wolf biting at his legs and his feet. That moose cannot simply walk away from the attacking wolves because the wolf would follow him. Neither can you ignore the cares of life. If you just try to ignore the cares of life, those cares will follow you around. We must take each care and use it as a motivation to talk with the Lord. If you can turn each care into a springboard for prayer, you will do yourself a lot of good. turn each care into a springboard for prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." See, when the care comes, Paul says, what you do is you go to the Lord in prayer and you make supplication. You offer thanksgiving. You use this opportunity to pray and to cast all your cares on Him because what? He cares for you. So when the cares of life, when you start to worry, when you begin to worry, you begin to have a troubled heart, you feel distress coming up, that is the signal to go to the Lord in prayer and cast your cares upon Him. Each person can turn his worries into springboards for prayers. You know, a springboard, you know what I'm talking about by a springboard? It's a starting point or a takeoff point for something. If you ever watched people get on the diving board and dive into the pool, the diving board is a springboard for them to make their dive and land into the pool of water below. There are many kinds of springboards. Prayer is to be the springboard for the Christian. When worry starts to set in, use prayer as a springboard, a starting point to lead you on down the road. In fact, thoughts are always springboards. Whenever you have a thought, you can do one of two things with a negative thought. You can start to worry about it, or you can take it to the Lord in prayer. Those are your two choices. Either worry about it or you take it to the Lord in prayer. Every thought is a springboard. Turn the springboard into prayer. Into prayer. Cast all your care on Him. He cares for you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus reminded Martha that only one thing was needful, and that was what Mary had chosen to do. Use every circumstance, every opportunity to commune with the Lord. Instead of worrying and having a troubled heart, Jesus was saying to Martha, instead of worrying about all those things, come and do the thing that Mary has done, that which is really needful. Come and sit at my feet. Second thing that you can do to overcome anxiety and the resulting destructive emotions is to be enlarged when distressed. Be enlarged when distressed. The heart that is hemmed in and narrow during a time of distress must be enlarged. Paul told the Corinthian church this when they experienced the distress that they had. 2 Corinthians 6:13, he says, "Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged." Be also enlarged. This is accomplished by crying out to God. David confirmed the effectiveness of this instruction when he wrote in Psalm 4:1, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness," or "Hear me when I cry. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." When you are distressed and you go to the Lord in prayer and do some other things we'll talk about here in just a minute, you are enlarged. The reason for the things that we are tempted to worry about and become distressed over is so that we can be enlarged. We can be better people. We can be more effective Christians. We can be more Christ-like. Ladies, the best thing that you can do when your husband does something wrong or you're afraid he's going to do something wrong is not to react to him. The best thing that you can do is take it to the Lord in prayer. You will get further by taking it to the Lord in prayer and letting the Lord deal with your husband than you will if you try to cause contention. And if you go to the Lord in prayer and you use prayer as a springboard, you will be enlarged. You will be enlarged. And your faith will grow as you see God deal with your husband. Your trust in God will become that much greater and that much stronger. You will be enlarged. There's some other ways to be enlarged. According to Psalm 37, verse 3, trust. Trust in the Lord. And while you're trusting, do good. Trusting is mentioned a couple times in those verses. Trust in the Lord. And then you can also delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Don't have a troubled heart, a worried heart, an anxious heart. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you those things that you desire. Not the things you worry about, but the things that you desire. And then verse 5, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. There's trusting again. And He shall bring it to pass. Your expectation should be of the Lord. Verse 4, rest. Or verse 7, rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's hard to do. That's difficult to do. But while you are trusting and while you are waiting and while you are resting, God is enlarging you. He's enlarging your heart. And then verse 8, number 5, cease from anger. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Never get anything accomplished by getting angry at somebody. But if you trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way into the Lord, rest in the Lord, and cease from anger, the Lord will enlarge you while you are in distress. And the third thing to do, how to overcome worry, anxiety, and other destructive emotions, is to see from God's perspective. See from God's perspective. We begin to fret when we see from our own perspective. But if we could see from God's perspective, we would have great peace. A little boy was asked what he was thankful for by his Sunday school teacher. It was Thanksgiving, and the teacher was encouraging all the children to give personal expression to their feelings of gratitude. The little boy said that he was especially thankful for his glasses. The teacher asked him why he was thankful to have to wear glasses. Very quickly he responded, "Because they keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." Perspective can make a difference, right? From the teacher's eyes, it would not be pleasant to wear glasses, but from the little boy's eyes, it was a blessing to be able to wear glasses. I challenge you to see your circumstances from God's perspective. Seek to understand it from God's perspective. Seek for his wisdom. See the wicked from God's perspective. You know, in our world, many times we become distressed and we fret when it appears that the wicked are prospering. Why does this happen? Why are the wicked prospering in our country? Learn to see them from God's perspective and how he will judge them. I'll not go into time today, but that judgment is defined in Psalm 73. If you would like to read that this afternoon or something, you will see the end result of the wicked. Don't ever envy the wicked. Don't ever envy the wicked. Don't ever wish you could do things that the world does. And be grateful that when you do those things, God doesn't let you get away with it. It's better that God judges you now than he lets you persist in your own way and judge you on that great and terrible day. Be thankful when God steps in and doesn't let you do the things that other people seem to get away with doing. Moms, one last word for you. Be not in such a hurry to do that you forget to be. So anxious to give out that you forget to take in. Father, we thank you for all the mothers that are here today. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to honor them now. And we ask, Lord, that if there is any that are uptight right now, any moms or anybody in this congregation, I pray that even this moment they would take those worries and those cares and they would turn them into a springboard for prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would enlarge them in this distress. Give them grace, Lord, to trust you, to delight in you, to commit their way to you, to rest in you, and to cease from anger. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. Wisdom is seen in responding to life's situations from your perspective, from your point of view. Give them wisdom today, I ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like all the moms to come to the front. If you would do that today, we have a carnation that we would like to give you. And this way, we would just like to honor you. You don't have to be a member or an attender of this church. If you're a mom, we want you to come today. We want to give you this flower. And those that were the ushers today, would you come and would you hold these vases up and let each mom choose a carnation of her choice, please? We have plenty, I'm sure. I understand the very first Mother's Day gift was a white carnation. Anybody pick a white one? A couple down there, all right. All we have left is white ones. One yellow one. All right. Praise. Let's stand in honor of the moms here today, and also we'd like to pray over them. Ask God's blessing upon them. Father, we thank you for all of these moms that are here today. Lord, we thank you for the Christian heritage that they have given us. We thank you, Lord, for their faith. We thank you for their love. Lord, only your love can surpass that of a mother's love. We thank you for their dedication in raising their children. Lord, we thank you for the giving of themselves so sacrificially. Lord, we see in the heart of a mother so many attributes that are in the heart of God. And now, Lord, I pray that you would bless each one. Lord, I pray that you would bless them indeed. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need that they have. Lord, those things that they worry about, the things that fill them with care and cause them a troubled heart and distress. Lord, I pray that you would take those things away today. I pray that you would take out each anxiety and fill it with your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would keep these moms in good health. Lord, that they might prosper even as their soul prospers. And Lord, we pray that they would continue to grow in their relationship with you. Lord, we are just so thankful today that we can honor them. And I know, Lord, that you are here today as well to honor them and to bless them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We just give the ladies a hand this morning. Out of appreciation. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hope that you have a blessed day in the Lord and are able to spend it with your mother if she's close by. If not, give her a telephone call or something and be in contact with mom today. God bless you. You are dismissed.